Louise Ma on 666 ABC Canberra.
The Gouldian finch, with its bright colours of purple, red, orange, green, blue, is one of Australia's most beautiful birds. Many people think it's named after the famous English ornithologist and artist John Gould. But in fact, he named the bird after his wife, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Gould was a woman before her time. She was arguably a better artist than John, but she died young at the age of 37 after giving birth to the couple's eighth child. And her reputation became much overshadowed by the fame of her husband. But that reputation, that talent, that knowledge of her talent has now been resurrected in a new novel about her life. It's called The Birdman's Wife, and it's by Queensland poet, academic and bird lover, Melissa Ashley, who joins us today from our studio in Brisbane. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Louise.
I'm so pleased you wrote this book.
Well, it was a delight to write. It was a real work of love.
I say I'm pleased that you wrote it because I've known a bit about Elizabeth Gould for a while, and I often wondered why no one had tackled the subject, because there's so much to write about. She was, as I said, a woman before her time. She was an extremely talented artist. She was a mother. She was trying to juggle her home life and her career, and at the same time supporting the career of her genius husband. Everything's there for a great story, but it hasn't really been done before. Why do you think that is?
I agree with you. And in fact, when I was researching the book, it took about 4 years to write. I was quite worried that someone else might
jump
in to it. Yes. But very little was known about Elizabeth until about 100 years after she'd visited Australia in 1840. And there was a bird watcher and a journalist called Alec Chisholm. And he went to England and he interviewed Elizabeth's descendants and found out that they had about 14 letters and a small diary that Elizabeth had written during her time in Australia. And so that's really where we get to know her as a person rather than sort of an artist that John had referenced, you know, in a line, in a letter.
So what do we learn in the letters that she wrote herself and in the journal she kept? What do we learn about her as a woman of that time?
Yeah, that they were really important resource materials for me because she, you know, being a mother, she was very torn. She came to Australia for 2 years and she had brought her eldest son with her, but she left her three children behind in England with her mother. Her youngest was only 6 months and she had a 2.5-year-old and a 4-year-old and he was sent to boarding school. And she, you know, she was a very, very passionate about her illustration, but she did really miss them and she really worried about them in her letters.
So that comes through in her letters because
it does.
For some classes in England at the time, mothers were quite distant from their children, but she wasn't one of those mothers.
No, I don't think she was at all. And that certainly, that sentiment doesn't come across in her letters at all. She, you know, one of her daughters got quite ill while she was in Australia and she had to be sent out to the country from London to recover. They're actually a bit worried that she wouldn't make it. And she was very, very concerned about that.
And she'd already lost children. But let's go back. Who was Elizabeth Gould? What sort of a family was she born into? And where did her artistic talent come from?
Well, she was born into a military family. There's actually not a lot known about her family. She was sort of middle class. She wasn't well-to-do. And when she was in her early 20s, she left her home. She left Kent and she moved to London and she became a governess. And her brother worked in London as well, and he worked with John Gould. He was a taxidermist. And, you know, nothing's really known. There's one letter when she's about 22 or something, she writes to her mother and she says, oh, I'm missing home and luckily I've got my great friends in Broad Street, which I think was John Gould and her brother. Yeah, so that's all we really have of her until she meets John Gould and we find a little bit more about her until she, you know, when she marries him.
But it's lovely for a novelist, isn't it? Because the book opens with you imagining her first meeting with John Gould amidst all his stuffed specimens.
Yeah, there were a couple of versions of how they met. So one of Elizabeth's descendants, Maureen Lamborn, who's in England, she's an art historian and she's written quite a bit about Gould, suggested that she met Gould while she was taking her charge through the Regent's Park Gardens, through the zoo, and he saw her, you know, wandering past the the bird pavilions and everything, and that's how they met. But I met some descendants of the Goulds of Elizabeth Gould in Brisbane, and they had another theory, which was that because Charles Coxon, Elizabeth's brother, was a taxidermist, he in fact introduced them. I mean, you know, both versions are speculative, but I chose the taxidermy, I suppose, introduction.
Why?
I just thought that was very exciting. and I think people find taxidermy, you know, very exotic and interesting. And I did lots of bird watching and I really love birds and everything. But as part of my research, I also learned how to make scientific bird skins at the Queensland Museum. And the experience was so fascinating. I think that's why I wanted to sort of share that with readers straight away. So Elizabeth, you know, goes to meet John Gould. She's going to draw a bird for him, and she sort of gets taken straight into the taxidermy room where all the stuffed birds are lying out on the tables.
How hard was it to learn the craft of taxidermy, Melissa?
I don't think I'll ever make a taxidermist. You need to be, you know, you need to have quite nimble fingers. Mm. So it's a bit of a smelly task, obviously, and but it's really fascinating though. And so you learn to remove the meat from the specimens and then to stuff them basically with mattress stuffing and some dowels and to sew them up. And then you actually blow dry them and you set them out with some pins, and they take a couple of weeks to dry and go hard.
You can, well, I think that it's great that you took your research to that level, because it comes through in the book with very detailed descriptions of how the scientists then, how people like John Gould and the people he worked with and Elizabeth, how they approached these specimens and how they made them look lifelike enough for them to be able to draw and to paint. But you also go into gorgeous specific detail too about how Elizabeth paints these beautiful pictures of birds, and, you know, grinding up the pigments and what she does to get a certain sheen on a particular feather. How did you learn about all that?
It's like the taxidermy. I find the artistic process very fascinating as a writer. It's very evocative for me. And I suppose lithography, in terms of using it to make zoological representations, was very new at the time. Edward Lear was someone who sort of was the first person to experiment with the form for zoological illustration with the print technology.
And this is surprising too, because Edward Lear has come down to us in history mostly as that crazy guy who made up all the funny limericks. But he was a great naturalist and a great artist.
He was. He was one of the 19th century's most wonderful natural history illustrators. He was truly fantastic, and he was a real innovator with lithography to reproduce prints of birds. And, you know, once upon a time they did etchings and woodcuts and everything, and they used very poorly stuffed taxidermy specimens as well. And so it was just a time of revolution when Elizabeth and John got on board, and they invented, you know, ways of making their, as you say, with the sheen and everything, making the illustrations more beautiful by trying out different colours and finishing techniques and so on.
Give us an idea of what was happening at that time in England, in Europe, around the 1840s, when people were learning about these amazing creatures, these fascinating plants that were being sent back to England from other parts of the world. It was a time of great curiosity and great fervour and also great entrepreneurship, wasn't it, Melissa?
Yes, it certainly was for John Gould. I mean, you had people like Charles Darwin, who'd just returned from his voyage of the Beagle. And I suppose it's a combination of, you know, it's technology really pushed it, because, as I said, they could preserve their specimens better than they could in the 18th century. They sent them back in jars of alcohol, and there was, because so many species from all over the world were just pouring in, there was just this flourishing of interest in it, and that made, you know, ornithology develop more quickly, more discoveries were made. But as well as that, natural history was very popular with the everyday person, so it became you know, a popular pursuit, a popular Victorian pursuit, and people could do that in their own home. They could collect, and they could stuff animals or preserve shells or whatever in their own home. So lots of people were very interested in it.
Lots of ordinary households or middle class,
yes,
aspirational households had stuffed animals under glass domes decorating,
yes,
decorating the drawing room. Yes. You mentioned Charles Darwin, and Elizabeth Gould got up close to Charles Darwin's famous finches, didn't she? The finches that were later to lead to Charles Darwin's exploration of the theory of evolution.
Yes, she did indeed. So just after Charles Darwin returned from the voyage, he met with all the important scientists in London, and one of them, of course, was John Gould. And John Gould classified the birds he'd collected from all over the world, and there were many new species that no one had ever seen before. And Charles Darwin wasn't an ornithologist. He started out as a geologist, so he didn't have the expertise that John Gould had. And John Gould ended up writing the ornithology section of The Voyage of the Beagle. And Elizabeth Gould was invited to draw all of the birds, which I think there are about 50 at least that I can think of that she illustrated. And yes, they included those Galapagos finches.
It's 12 to 2 on 666 ABC Canberra. And my guest is Melissa Ashley, who's the author of the new book, The Birdman's Wife, which tells the story of Elizabeth Gould, including her trip to Australia with her husband to further their bird discoveries. And just getting back to her skill as an artist, so she was drawing a bit before she met John Gould, but once they formed that partnership, that's when she really took off as an artist, isn't it?
Yes, I think she took, because John Gould, he needed to draw specimens. He corresponded with ornithologists, mainly in Europe and everything, but in South America and in South Africa and everything, and he needed sometimes to represent, you know, a beak or a wing or something like that, and his drawings were very poor. And that's when he got Elizabeth on board, sort of that's how it started out. She was drawing sort of private drawings for his correspondence, and then she became more and more involved. But when they produced their first illustrated folio of 100 birds from the Himalayas, Elizabeth wasn't really, I mean, that's how she learnt to be a professional artist, you could say. So she learnt on the job. She learnt to draw, and she could already draw and everything, but she learnt how to convert it into lithography as well, to draw and to paint and to do lithography.
The reason why they travelled to Australia, and as you said at the start, the painful decision to leave some of the children behind, because it would have been even less safe to take them on such a voyage across to the other side of the world. And that was because they wanted to... can you explain what that was about? Was that because they were trying to find new species, or were they trying to find better examples of species they already knew about?
Yeah, I think there's lots of reasons why they came to Australia, and it's a culmination of a whole lot of opportunities. So, you know, Australia was this great undiscovered place, particularly with its ornithology. So there was this great opportunity for John Gould to possibly make his name, which is actually what ended up happening. But Elizabeth had two brothers, Stephen and Charles, who lived in the Hunter Valley. And a couple of years before the Goulds came to Australia, the brothers sent lots of species to John in London, which he classified. So I think he'd classified about 40 new species before they even arrived in Australia.
Wow.
And they'd already written a little field guide called The Synopsis of the Birds of Australia. It was in two volumes of our birds for other field collectors in Australia to refer to. So they knew quite a lot about Australian birds before they even got on board the ship.
One of the great meetings on that journey was the meeting between Elizabeth Gould and Lady Jane Franklin, who was the wife of the then governor of Van Diemen's Land. And Lady Jane Franklin, she's much better represented in history as an adventurer in her own right, and a very forthright, strong woman who, turned her nose up at many of the conventions of the day. So it must have been great fun writing those passages, I imagine, Melissa, the meeting between these two very strong, you know, independent women in a way, but both married to these larger-than-life men.
Absolutely. And that was just a lovely convergence of two unusual women at the time. And they were both champions of science, and they really did become very good friends. Originally, I think the Goulds had decided to stay in Tasmania for about 8 weeks. But Elizabeth, as she often did, became pregnant again. She became pregnant on the voyage. And Lady Franklin invited her to stay at Government House and to have the baby at Government House, and she looked after her, and she looked after her maid as well. And so John made all these expeditions from Tasmania, and they ended up spending 9 months in Tasmania. And there are fond... Lady Franklin writes very fondly of Elizabeth in her letters to her sister, and she also corresponded with John and Elizabeth as well. So it was definitely a very warm friendship there.
You must
want... In fact, there's...
Yes, sorry, go on.
There's quite a poignant story where Elizabeth died in 1841 in August, and about 2 weeks after she died, a wonderful letter arrived from Lady Franklin to Elizabeth Gould, you know, catching her up on all the news. And yes, yeah, so that was kind of poignant for me to discover that she'd passed away, and it would take another 3 months, you know, before Lady Franklin would get that news.
You must wonder, Melissa, what Elizabeth Gould would have achieved if she hadn't died so young.
I certainly have, and I think that, yeah, if she'd stayed on, because John Gould had a career that went for another 40 years,
yeah,
and he maintained his interest in Australian birds until his death, and, you know, he named about 200 of our species, just under 200 of our species, and certainly if Elizabeth had not passed away so young, we certainly would know her name.
You originally started this project as a PhD thesis. At what point did you decide it would be better to write the story as a novel?
I came to the PhD. It was a PhD in creative writing, and I came to the story of John Gould through my interest in bird watching, and a friend lent me a biography of John Gould, who I'd heard of, but I'd never heard of Elizabeth. And because I found her so fascinating, she was an enigma to me because she'd had 8 children and she lost 2 children and she was this incredible adventuress. That, I sort of delved into her life more and more, and then I thought to myself, I have a project here. Readers would really identify with her. She would make a very interesting character for an historical novel. So, yeah, the PhD was a creative writing.
So
PhD.
It was going to be creative writing anyway. It wasn't going to be sort of a biography. I think it's such a lovely way to do it because her energy, her vitality, her curiosity really comes across through the novel. So, again, I thank you for it, Melissa. It's a lovely story.
Thank you.
Melissa Ashley, who is the author of The Birdman's Wife, which tells the long-neglected story of Elizabeth Gould. She was married to John Gould, the famous ornithologist and artist, but Elizabeth was a great artist in her own right, and she died young. Her story was overshadowed by the fame of her husband, who went on to have a career for another 40 years after her death.